Life today is not for the faint of heart. It seems that wherever I go, whoever I talk to, whatever I listen to, so many of the conversations are about all the change and uncertainty around us. The amount of technological change that we have seen in recent years is simply staggering. It was less than 15 years ago that the first iPhone came out. And that phone had far more computing power than even the rocket that took the first astronauts all the way to the moon and came back. And yet the iPhone that came out just this last week makes that first iPhone look like nothing more than a little toy. Then, of course, there are all the changes that are happening to social norms and expectations related to marriage, to sexuality, gender identity. We're having conversations, we're having to make decisions that we never even imagined could be possible only a few years ago. So much change. But also so much uncertainty. Uncertainty about the economy. The best economists in the world aren't even sure how all of this is going to play out. Between the pandemic and supply chain issues, extensive government spending, surprising rates of employment and quits and retirement, no one's really sure what's going to happen next. Then, of course, we all have different areas of uncertainty in our own lives, individually, related to our health, our housing, our employment, start of a new school year. Life is not for the faint of heart. It's certainly enough to make us wish for something simpler, for a time when things seemed less complicated and a whole lot more straightforward. I don't know whether such a time ever actually existed. I mean, it could just be that our memory is somewhat selective, and we kind of have a tendency to romanticize the past. But either way, there's no going back. There is no going back to a simpler time, because that is simply not how this world of ours works. And so that means that all we can do is be honest about the present, hopeful about the future, and committed to living faithfully in this world as it actually is. And as followers of Jesus, we can decide to face all of it with strength and with courage. And this morning, we're going to learn something important about how we can do that. We're at the beginning of a new sermon series from the Old Testament book of Joshua. It is a book about what happened to the Israelites after their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. A book about how God was faithful to one of the great promises that he made to Abraham, the promise of a great homeland for his people. A book that is designed, that is intended to still be very relevant for our lives today. And so this morning, we are going to see how God instructed Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land with strength and with courage. We are going to learn what Joshua had to do in order to be successful in that effort. And we're going to discover along the way that this is a text that has really important information for us if we are going to live successfully in this world that is full of so much change and uncertainty. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open up to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible with you or a Bible app on your smartphone or tablet, grab one of those red ones in the row in front of you, and we're going to be on page 330. 330, Joshua chapter 1. Now, last week, we talked about Joshua's background. We also talked about where the events of this book fit into the larger story and plan of God to rescue and to redeem a people for himself. Now, this is background information that the author of this book assumes that you are already familiar with. Now, if you missed that message, you can always go back and listen to it on our website. All our sermons are still there for you to listen to, just maybe not during this sermon. But as the book of Joshua begins, we learn that Moses, the great leader prophet, who'd led the Israelites out of their slavery in Egypt through 40 years of nomadic wandering in the wilderness, we learn that Moses is now dead. And God appoints Joshua, Moses' former aide, as the new prophet leader of the Israelites. And with this new appointment, God instructs Joshua to lead his people into the promised land with strength and courage. Let's look at the text. Verse 1, Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Moses, before he died, led these people all the way up to the border of Canaan, the promised land. And now God is telling Joshua to prepare the people to cross the Jordan River and to enter this land that is before them. And God tells him to take up this task with strength and with courage. This work that Joshua has been given to do is both a continuation of what Moses had been doing, leading the Israelites. It also finishes what God had started with Abraham, which was settling the Israelites into the promised land. And so God repeats to Joshua the promise that he had made to Moses, that he would give them this whole land that stretches out before them. God describes its rough borders, the Negev Desert to the south, Lebanon to the north, the Euphrates River to the east, and the Mediterranean Sea to the west. It's a huge expanse of land where the people can settle and thrive and grow. Now, this land, however, is not empty or uninhabited. There are people groups and city-states already established that are going to need to be defeated or pushed out in order for the Israelites to truly claim and to settle this land. Many modern readers are not sure how to feel about this. In a time when the international community is condemning Russia for the way that it invaded Ukraine, some wonder if what we see here is really so different than that. Now, I would tell you that it is. And I promise you that we will talk about how and why that is when we get to this part of the text. But for now, what this text assumes and expects all of us to understand is that this land, just like all of the world, just like all of creation, belongs to God. And as such, he and he alone can do with it as he pleases. And it was his sovereign choice to reserve this particular piece of land for the descendants of Abraham. Well, as God instructs Joshua to prepare to lead the people across the Jordan River and into the land, God promises Joshua both his presence and his power. As God was with Moses, he will be with Joshua. God promises to never leave him nor to forsake him. And God promises Joshua success in taking this land. No one is going to be able to stand against him. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of gods, the God who created and sustains all things is going to be with Joshua. And so with this foundation under Joshua and these promises of God backing Joshua up, God tells Joshua to be strong and to be courageous. Strong and courageous in the face of the work that he has been given to do. But while God has promised Joshua both his presence and his power, Joshua still has a responsibility in what he is about to do here. Joshua is responsible to know and to obey the law. If Joshua is going to successfully navigate all these new opportunities and challenges that lie before him and his people, he must both know and obey the law God gave them through Moses. Listen to what God says to Joshua next. Look at verse 7. God continuing to speak to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You might almost think that Mel and I had planned this out this morning. It wasn't us who did this planning. Now, there is actually some debate over what law is being referred to here in the text. Some think that what the author is talking about here is Deuteronomy, the book that is in the Bible right before the book of Joshua, a book whose name actually means second law. Others think that the scope of what's being referred to here is much larger than just Deuteronomy, perhaps all that's found in the first five books of the Bible. But what I can say for sure is that what we should not assume is that what God means here is just the Ten Commandments or only the rules and regulations that we find in these opening books of the Bible. See, the Hebrew word for law is Torah, and it's a word that usually means more than just rules and regulations. In fact, oftentimes a better way to translate it is to translate it as the word instruction or as teaching. Because basically it refers to all that God teaches and reveals and commands in Scripture. And I think that that's the idea here. God is instructing Joshua to know and obey, to understand and to live according to everything that he has revealed to them in their Scriptures. That certainly includes the commands, but it also includes the stories, as well as all the promises that he's already made to them of what he will do for them. But notice also how God tells Joshua to know and obey Torah. He's to keep this book of the law on his lips. He's to meditate on it day and night. So this isn't just about reading it or memorizing it, although it could certainly start there. But what God is telling Joshua to do is to internalize it, to truly understand it. Internalize it and understand it in ways that will shape how Joshua then begins to see things and how he thinks about things and how he will respond to things. See, the Torah, the instruction, the law, it comes from God. And so what God wants Joshua is for Joshua to begin to see and to think and to respond like God does. And see, this is going to be really, really important for Joshua to do because Joshua is headed into new and uncharted territory. Even though there are, in fact, more than 600 rules and commandments in Torah, Joshua is still inevitably going to find himself in circumstances and situations about which there is no specific law. No single command that's going to tell him exactly what to do in this particular situation. But if Joshua has come to truly know and understand and internalize what God has already given to them, then he is going to know how to see and to think and to respond to those circumstances. He will know what to do because he will have trained his perspective to be God's perspective. He will have changed his values to reflect God's values. He will have adopted God's priorities to be his priorities. And then, by drawing on these Bible-shaped perspectives, values, and priorities, he is going to know what to do in these new and unexpected circumstances and situations that he is inevitably going to face. But the only way that any of this is ever going to happen is if Joshua has kept these scriptures on his lips and he has been faithful to meditate upon them intentionally and regularly. If Joshua does this, God promises Joshua that he's going to be prosperous and successful. Now, we see prosperity language like this, and our minds most naturally go towards wealth, because wealth is certainly one of the biggest measures of success that we think about today. But biblically speaking, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, oftentimes prosperity refers to something else, something much greater than that. What it really refers to is this idea of human flourishing. To be prosperous, truly prosperous in a biblical sense, is to flourish in the life that God has prepared for his people. Now, that certainly might include wealth, but not necessarily. It might also include peace and stability, healthy relationships and healthy communities, a sense of well-being, a successful realization of the work that God has given his people to do. That means that in this case, prosperity refers mostly to Joshua leading these people into the land and then successfully helping them settle it. Well, having now received all these marching orders from God, Joshua steps up and he begins to lead. Joshua gathers together his officers, perhaps military officers, and he tells them to prepare the people for crossing the Jordan and entering into the Promised Land. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua ordered the officers of the people, "Go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own." So Joshua tells all the people to begin getting ready. But then Joshua also takes time to address the leaders of three tribes in particular: the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. Now, what sets these three tribes apart from the rest is that they have already found a place to permanently settle their families and their flocks. Back when Moses was still alive, and even with Moses' blessing, they had claimed and settled lands on the east side of the Jordan River to be their forever home. But when they had done this, they had also promised Moses that when it came time to cross the Jordan and to take the rest of the land, all of their fighting men would go with the rest of the Israelites. They would assist the other 10 tribes in taking the land across the Jordan. And so Joshua reminds them of this promise. Verse 12. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, "Remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, 'The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you on the east side of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has already done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land your Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Now, this is really the first test of whether these people are going to follow Joshua like they followed Moses. Here's how they respond to Joshua. Verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, "Whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not do it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." Now, whether the "they" there in verse 16 refers to only the Reubenites and the Gadites, in the half-tribe of Manasseh, or whether it refers to all of the Israelites that are assembled there. Either way, the people's response to Joshua is very clear. They believe that Joshua is God's chosen successor to Moses, and they will follow him as they followed Moses. And so they, just like God, call on Joshua to be strong and to be courageous. Now, this text that we're looking at this morning is ancient. And I'm going to guess that none of us are likely to be given the responsibility of leading a nation during a pivotal moment in its history. I don't imagine that that's going to be part of my future. But that doesn't mean that this call from God to be strong and courageous isn't also a call to us from God to be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous in whatever situations and circumstances we inevitably find ourselves in. You know, as we observed in the opening of this sermon, life is not for the faint of heart. We are surrounded by change and surrounded by uncertainty. Changes brought about by technology, changes to what is and is not considered acceptable in our society. Uncertainty about the economy, uncertainty about the future, uncertainty about our health, our housing, our employment, our school year. And while all of this change and uncertainty may make us long for a way to escape or to return to simpler times, there's no going back. What we have is the present and the future and the opportunity to face both of them, engage with both of them with strength and courage. Now, that might not seem like very good news to you, especially if you're not feeling particularly strong. But like Joshua, it is not our own strength that we are to rely on. See, our strength is to come from the one who is truly strong, the one who has promised to everyone who follows Jesus that his presence and his power is always going to be with us. See, just as God promised Joshua his presence in the Old Testament, he said to him, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," God promises his presence to us in the New Testament, makes the same promise. And the Holy Spirit who lives inside of each one of us, as soon as we pledge our love and our loyalty to Jesus, that Holy Spirit gives us power. The Apostle Paul reminds Timothy of this in the second letter that he wrote to him. Paul writes to Timothy, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. These promises of God's presence and power mean that if we are a follower of Jesus, then we have the necessary strength to be able to face whatever situations and circumstances come before us. And because of this strength, which comes from God, we are also able to face it with courage. Understanding that courage is not the absence of fear. What courage is the willingness and the ability to do what is right and needed, even when we are feeling afraid. That's what courage is. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. But in our beautiful but broken and very complicated world, strength and courage alone is not enough. It wasn't for Joshua, and it isn't for us either. In order for us to live well, to live successfully, to live in ways that genuinely please God, we also need to truly know and understand and be shaped by the scriptures, all of the scriptures that God has given to us. And that is because we are faced with all sorts of situations and circumstances that the Bible does not specifically address. See, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about dating or about same-sex marriage or about gender identity or abortion or retirement or Social Security or gun laws or 100 other things that we all have opinions about. But just because we cannot find a Bible verse that specifically addresses the Second Amendment or what kind of retirement benefits the state should provide to all of its citizens, that doesn't mean that Scripture doesn't have something to say to each of these issues. Or that God doesn't have particular ways that he wants us to respond to these issues. See, what God wants for us as his specially chosen and now rescued people is for us to see and to think and to respond to all of these things just like he does. And that is why these scriptures have been given to and preserved for us today. They give us a basis by which to respond to all of the situations and all of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. Not because every situation and circumstance is addressed in the text. In fact, it's not even close. But because these texts, to the extent that we have come to know and truly internalize them, they enable us to begin to see and understand and respond to the world like God does. See, these unchanging scriptures are designed to change us. But that only happens to the extent that we actually get them into us. To the extent that we make sure that we keep them on our lips and we meditate upon them day and night. And that we do that both individually as well as when we're here together. My friends, there are so many things that are vying for our attention. There are so many voices telling us about how we should think about the pressing issues of our day. So many talking heads that make claims about the things that we're supposed to be outraged about and what we should be most concerned about when we go to the voting booth or when we post on social media or about where we should be putting our money. We might wish for simpler and easier times, but that simply is not an option for us. And that's not what God is calling us to do. He's calling us instead to be strong and to be courageous. And so let's commit, both individually and together, corporately, to face this beautiful but broken world of ours with strength and with courage. Strength and courage because of the power and the presence of the one who is in us. And let's continue to get to know and to understand these texts better and better so that we come to see and to think and respond to things just like Jesus does. And we become less and less and less like the brokenness that we see in the world around us. My friends, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with us wherever it is that we go. Let me pray. Father, we praise and worship you for your glory, for your holiness, and for your faithfulness. Thank you for your great unstoppable plan that began in the garden and ends when you make all things new in the greater promised land, the new heaven and new earth. Jesus, we bow before you as the great Joshua, and we pledge our love and loyalty to you. Thank you for becoming one of us in order to show us how to really live with strength and courage, and then to die in our place for our sins. Holy Spirit, we humbly ask that you would continue to use the scriptures, all of the scriptures, including the Old Testament, to shape how we see and think and respond to all of the challenges and uncertainty in our lives. Show us how these ancient texts can still speak to us today as we face change and uncertainty. Grant us all the grace and wisdom and faith and love and strength and courage that we need in order to live successfully in our beautiful but broken world. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for the benediction. Take these words of scripture with you as you go, this blessing that is for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you go in his peace with strength and courage as you leave here today. Thank you for joining us as we've gathered for the sake of worshiping God together. You are dismissed.